to the Invisible Garment Podcast, where we talk about spiritual principles, knitting, and the politics of ethical behavior. Episode 10, Awareness. Today's spiritual principle is awareness, which is the bridge between instinct and consciousness. Today we'll talk about knitting a giant circle with holes in it as a metaphor for awareness. Making decisions based on the politics of belief. We get a little feedback from a lot of people. And as always, a surprise ending that today is pretty surprising. I'd like to start this discussion of the principle of awareness by reading the first paragraph from the chapter on awareness from The Invisible Garment. Awareness evokes the arousal of consciousness. The first 9 spiritual principles exist, quote, beneath, end quote, ordinary consciousness. Their impact on the process of life and the realm of form is pre-conscious for the most part. However, at this turn of the spiral, consciousness reaches a new level. It now becomes not only possible, but also imperative for consciousness to begin to understand itself as a participating aspect of evolution. Awareness awakens life to a self-conscious perspective. So, in other words, awareness as a spiritual principle marks the boundary between biological alertness and mental awakening. It draws the line between brain and mind, which is the eternal philosophical conversation. What is brain and what is mind? Awareness determines the quality and the contextual richness of an observation. Animals are aware in an instinctual, biological way, but humans take this principle to a different place. Awareness bridges what I call the ascending principles, which are based in the natural world, with the containing principles, which are rooted in the human world. Subjectivity and free will are two important tools for humans, and they are introduced into the mix through the principle of awareness. Now, each of us has brain synapses, which create a consciousness. And consciousness we're going to define as something like a unified field of our personal worldview. In other words, each of us has consciousness, which is the overview of reality that somehow mediates the qualitative composition of our experiences. For example, listening to music, brushing your teeth, and watching your child play are all 3 experiences which are completely different. They carry completely different sensations and feelings and are totally subjective. How you experience each of them is up to you. Your relationship to awareness determines the quality and intensity of your personal experiences and the expansiveness or narrowed focus of your worldview is also determined by how you relate to awareness, how you are influenced by awareness. Okay, for example, listening to music creates a certain set of feelings and a unique flow of energy in you. However, listening to Bach and listening to Carole King singing You've Got a Friend are qualitatively different within themselves based on your preference of each kind of music. Watching your child play in a sandbox and watching your child score a winning goal in a soccer game are qualitatively different experiences, although they both fall under the category of watching your child play. Awareness and the influence that awareness has in your reality determines the quality of your experience. We don't know whether every person feels the same thing when they have similar subjective experiences, because awareness is totally unique to you, to your principles, to the way your life is woven together. Awareness influences your states of qualitative feeling and sentience. So awareness determines that all experiences are subjective and simultaneously, they are all unified. Example, in this particular moment, you're aware of the clothes that are rubbing on your skin, the feeling of air entering and exiting your lungs, the sound of my voice, the view outside your window, or whatever view might be crossing your gauge. Now, you aren't aware of all of these things necessarily separately. You're aware of them simultaneously. And your brain has prioritized which of them is dominating your attention. So even though you think you may be really focused on what I'm saying, your mind may have wandered off a couple of times in the last 5 or 6 minutes that I've been talking. You may have missed something. If you go back and listen to it again, you'll hear things that you swear were not there the first time. If someone else is sitting next to you and also listening to this podcast, you're mildly aware that they're having a very similar experience, but you have no idea, really, what their experience is like. It's subjective and unified. So it's through awareness that free will enters the picture of our reality. Now, judgment, you remember we talked about judgment coming in the last podcast on the heels of goodness. Free will enters on the heels of awareness. We are now able to determine through our unique consciousness the quality of our experiences. It's going to affect our judgment. It's going to affect our decision making, which we'll talk about later. Awareness. Everyone has it to a greater or lesser extent. The question I have for you this week is, how broad is your awareness? Okay, time to talk about knitting. I want to start by having you think about the history of the yarn that you may be knitting with or that you're watching someone else knit with. It probably grew on an animal, but maybe it grew as a plant. It had to go through all kinds of harvesting and shearing and washing and manipulating and dyeing and chemical fixing, etc., in order to come to you as a lump of yarn, as a skein of yarn, ready to be knit into a fabric. So yarn comes to you as an it is what it is kind of product. It can't be something other than it is. You can't make a bulky sweater out of lace weight yarn unless you use billions of skeins simultaneously. You can't make bulky yarn into a smooth yarn because it has lumps and bumps. It is what it is. And that's how your brain is. We have these synapses, these little electronic-like sparks that trigger thoughts inside our heads. And these synapses have developed based on your biology, your psychology, your chemistry, and your history. It is what it is. But then those basic nerve firings become a pattern. You begin to think in patterns. That's part of what the brain does, is organize itself and its little systems into patterns. Well, that's what knitting is. Knitting is taking this it is what it is piece of string and tying it into a pattern. Knitting is the visible results of working with an it is what it is and becoming a pattern. So I want to tell you about a pattern that I recently knitted that really resembles my thought patterns, my own synapses. It's called a circular vest. The circular vest pattern found in Elaine Askison's book, Silk Knits. Now, I love to knit in circles. I'm always looking for circle patterns and labyrinth patterns, and I know that's because I think in circles. A friend once told me that my thought processes are like a tree, that it starts, you know, at the very center, at the very core, and it keeps growing and keeps growing and keeps growing and keeps growing. That her thought processes are more like a random patterning that, you know, just goes out and comes back and goes out and comes back and goes out and comes back. But that's why I like to knit in circles, because I like to see things grow and grow and grow and grow and become a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger representation of that core. So that's why I love this pattern, because you basically start with 8 stitches right there in the middle on double pointed needles so that you're creating a circle. And then you set up this sort of wheel thing where every other row you increase 1 stitch within one of these 8 spokes of this wheel. Well, I mean, who could believe that by increasing 8 stitches every other round, you can create a huge circle that just goes on and on and on forever. Now, at a certain point in this circle, when you've made the circle as big as you are across your back, you create these 2 little slits in the circle, and then you just keep going for as long as you want to. This pattern was supposed to be a vest, but I wanted much more than a vest, and I just kept going and kept going and kept going. It's about the size of a tablecloth, but wrapped around me, it looks like the most fabulous coat. I've never worn this thing that I didn't get rave reviews. I still can't believe that all you have to do is increase 8 stitches every other row, no matter how big this circle gets, and it just keeps increasing at a regular pace. Now, the important thing is where you increase the stitches. You can't just randomly increase the stitches. Well, you could randomly increase the stitches, but you need to make sure that it's a random increase rather than a increase at the very same place every single time, because that way you're going to get like ruffles and bumps and lumps. But if you increase the stitches according to a pattern, you get this beautiful sort of sun ray effect. And the vest starts in the middle in the back, and it just branches out like a big, huge sunburst, like a huge star that you're wearing on your back. It's just beautiful. I recommend that you knit this pattern. But this is the point about awareness. Increasing in a regular pattern, expanding your attention, expanding your ability to be aware, widening your perspective in a regular pattern helps you integrate those new synapses that you create every time you add a stitch, so to speak. And it blends into the existing patterns of your thought. You don't begin to distort your thinking, but rather you begin to grow it. And you allow yourself to have more and more and more and more and more awareness, which then results in more and more and more and more tolerance, more and more and more and more wisdom, more and more and more and more depth in the way you experience life, more and more and more and more quality of life. That's what awareness offers you. But that's also what knitting offers you. Quality of life. Now, in this segment, when we talk about the politics of ethical behavior, we're using that word politics to mean what is appropriate. That's not necessarily the way the word politics gets used on the cable channels. We're talking about proper behavior that results in the benefit for the greater number of people. Frank Ramsey was a British philosopher, mathematician, economist, and he developed a branch of psychology called decision theory. Decision theory is the study of how people make decisions. And it actually includes, this branch of psychology includes what Ramsey called the belief factor. In this segment called The Politics of Ethical Behavior, I'm going to explore the belief factor, but I'm going to be calling it the spiritual influence. suggesting that we are being influenced by an actual inbred principle when we make our decisions. And today we're talking about what it would be like if awareness were the principle that influenced your political, ethical decisions. Now, some principles call for less rational and more spontaneous kind of decision making, but awareness asks us to take careful inventory of risks before making a decision. Because every person's consciousness is so highly subjective, every person's set of choices about what to do with their feelings and observations is unique. There's a lot of controversy about causation in our ethical choices, about how much of what we call free choice or free will is really biologically predetermined or at least pre-propensitied. Is that a word? Anyway, one of the major conversations between biologists and philosophers is this idea of biology versus spirituality. I'm suggesting that awareness, which you recall brings consciousness to the table, creates unique propensities toward making carefully calculated choices. So whether it's biological or spiritual really is not the question here. Free will, so to speak, exists because of this amazing ability through awareness to perceive in unique ways. The argument about whether it's biology or something else that determines our behavior doesn't really make sense to me. It seems to me that because we know that when we think about eating an apple, the same parts of our brain fire and light up as when we actually eat an apple, the question is answered. It's biology. However, awareness also brings in other factors. You may think about eating an apple, but then you remember having an allergic reaction to the apple one time. And so that factors in and prohibits you acting out the thought of eating an apple. But then you remember that it wasn't the apple that caused the problem. It was the pesticide on the apple that you forgot to wash off before you tasted it that caused the reaction. And so now you're back to eating the apple. I know this is a silly idea that I'm presenting here, but you get the point. Awareness broadens our perspective. We may see something or be in a circumstance that creates biological responses, but the spiritual principle of awareness adds more layers onto it. It creates a unique, unified field of consciousness for the individual. So if awareness is your spiritual principle, you are going to make very calculated, very mathematically determined decisions in your life. I got so many great letters and comments from you. Thank you so much. You know, I took a month off from podcasting because I was traveling and I did a retreat, and then there were the Thanksgiving holidays, and I've been settling into my new home, and just seems like I'm knitting. Oh boy, am I knitting for Christmas. Lots of things got in the way. But the requests, not insists, but very gentle, very kind requests kept coming. Please, when is the next podcast coming along? And I appreciate that so much. I really do. I love hearing from you. As always, thanks to Kevin Brennan for the music. Be sure to visit his website and purchase his music at his website, www.fboo.com. F is in Frank. Boo is in boo boo. Kevin's music is so great. It would be a wonderful holiday gift. And also, please come to Turtle Dreamers. The link for the awareness newsletter will be in the program notes for this podcast. And while you're there, be sure to visit the free dream space and see what we're dreaming into existence this week. And contribute your own dreams and thoughts. Yes, please do. All my books and products are also available through the website, so click on the store and check it out. Now, for the surprise ending. few weeks ago, I received the following email. Dear Connie, I was Googling for dream space teaching because I run a foundation called the Academy for Dream Space Teaching. And then your website came up. Let me introduce myself if you're interested. My name is John Balder. I used to be a scientist, physics, PhD in nuclear physics, informatics, and finally, artificial intelligence. During that time, I read all the books by Castaneda in search of more than the world of science. Then, in 1989, I met someone who practiced shamanism, so to say. I started learning by doing, met a group of people who made concerts with vibrational instruments called Dreamtime Healing Concerts in Amsterdam. I worked there and learned for 10 years with this group. Then in 2001 came a rupture in my life. In half a year, I lost both my parents and divorced. Finally, free, so to say, what I had asked for, though not in this form, I moved to Spain, where I now have this foundation to disseminate my knowledge and do concerts. I changed the dream time, which is the Aboriginal word, to dream space. If you're interested, you can find a recording of one of our concerts here. Well, you better believe I went to that recording, and it's really, really interesting. And I've been in touch with John quite a bit since then via email, and with his permission, your surprise today is one of his recordings. It's part of his concert. I did with his permission edit it a bit. It has no lyrics. It has only healing sounds. So I've created this little gift for you, which includes his music and some of the in quote lyrics from The Invisible Garment about awareness. Please enjoy and close your eyes and see if you get the healing of this incredible music. Your primary job in this incarnation is to expand your consciousness. As you do this, you, of course, expand the consciousness of all your soul cluster, and that impacts the consciousness of the whole species. At first, depending on the wisdom of your parents and teachers, it may be confusing for you. Yours is a life full of paradox. Your challenge is to keep growing spiritually, so that you can encompass those paradoxes rather than be paralyzed or tossed around by them. You are the kind of being who makes everything you encounter more clear and encourages everyone to be more authentic. You have an innate ability to sense a wide spectrum of possibilities in any situation. We know that you are naturally able to see a fuller spectrum of emotions, energies, and dynamics at play in any circumstance. You can embrace the paradoxes and ironies of life because you know them to be the stuff of life. We know that more than most people, you are alert to the consequences of your decisions. The classic definition of an ethical decision is a choice that benefits the greatest number of dynamics. When you make a decision, you are aware of the impact it has not only on yourself, but also on family, friends, clients, colleagues, and on more subtle levels, the plants,
animals, air, water, earth, and even on more subtle levels, the angels, stars, and God. Of course, you may not consciously stop and consider the stars when deciding what to have for dinner, but there is some antenna-like part of you that is always scanning to make sure you are helping rather than hindering. Earlier in your life, you may have learned the hard way that your decisions are important. But as you have matured physically and spiritually, you have learned to be accountable for the ramifications of your choices.